Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. So happy to have you along today. Some great information to share with you today from Dr. Michael Fiore, professor of medicine. He directs the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, has also a master's degree in public health and an MBA as well. With us today, whenever he's on, we talk about stopping smoking and quitting smoking. There is a new product out there. It's called the electronic cigarette, and it has become pretty popular pretty quickly. Is it good for you? Is it good for me? I'll tell you what, he has some answers for us, and I hope you'll join in as we visit with him at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you've tried electronic cigarettes. Did they help you quit? Are you a current smoker? Would you like to quit? Have you tried unsuccessfully before? Give us a call or join in. And Dr. Fiore, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
We really appreciate you taking the time. And how many smokers are there now in the U.S.?
Well, the good news is we just heard an update which provided a measure of smoking rates for the year 2012. So that's the most recent data we have.
Yep.
And smoking rates have fallen now to 18% of adults. And when we look back to the 1960s, when smoking rates were about 45%, we've cut it down to almost a third of what it was at its peak. But with that said, we still have about 45 million adult smokers in America. Here in Wisconsin, almost a million adult smokers. And one particular concern is that as time's gone on, smoking has increasingly been concentrated in populations that have some of the least resources to overcome it. Mm. People who are poor, people with the least education, but particularly people who also have mental health or substance abuse diagnoses. And we need to do a lot more to reach out to these populations and help them to quit.
There's been a lot of talk recently about e-cigarettes or electronic cigarettes. My wife and I were at an event Sunday night and talking with somebody, and that person pulled out what looked like a cigarette, except it wasn't something he lit. He just put it in his mouth and sucked on it and blew out something that appeared to be smoke, except I couldn't smell it.
Well, you're right, Larry. E or electronic cigarettes have become incredibly popular. And not surprisingly, a big part of that is the tobacco industry has decided that there are profits in e-cigarettes, and they have bought some of the brands, and they are heavily marketing their products, so they've become ubiquitous. Just to give you a sense of the dramatic increase in use, this is a study that came out of Chicago, and they surveyed adults and found that back in 2010, about 2% of all adults reported that they had ever used an e-cigarette. By 2012, mm-hmm. in just 2 years, it's up to 11% report, and almost half of smokers reported having tried e-cigarettes. So these are products that are not only out there, but being heavily promoted by the tobacco industry.
Wow. So are they safer than traditional cigarettes for the smoker and those around them?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, Larry. So we're going to talk about this from a couple perspectives. One is from the perspective of the individual smoker, and then more broadly from a population perspective. So let's just put side by side smoking an e-cigarette versus smoking a tobacco cigarette. Well, the first challenge is that there are 250 different brands of e-cigarettes available now. Many of them are mom and pop operations. Some of them are the big tobacco industry, but they vary enormously. So for most individuals, you really don't know what you're getting when you smoke an e-cigarette. They vary enormously, and we have seen that the vapor that comes from e-cigarettes includes some of the toxins that we find in regular cigarettes, including formaldehyde, lead,
cadmium.
Cadmium. You have an even longer list in front of you, Larry, but what it points out is that there are chemicals in e-cigarettes that are clearly potentially harmful. If we lined up the amount of those chemicals you get in an e-cigarette to the amount you get in a regular cigarette, without question, they appear to have less in the way of toxic chemicals. So if you line them up side by side, they're probably less smoking one e-cigarette versus smoking one regular cigarette. But, I mean, the obvious question is, do you want to have a little bit less lead or a little bit less cadmium? Yeah. The goal is to not put any of these toxins into us, if at all possible. And that's where the challenge comes. This is not a product that's yet been tested. We don't yet know how dangerous it is. And particularly for smokers out there who are thinking about quitting, as a physician, the message I would give, why not use some of the medications that have been tested by the FDA, have been found to be safe and effective. They don't have any of these additional compounds and will, in my view, be a safer alternative as you move towards the goal that everybody has, and that's free of cigarettes, free of medication, smoke-free.
Yeah, absolutely. They are not regulated then at all compared to cigarettes.
You're right. In 2009, Congress passed and President Obama signed legislation that provides control and regulation of cigarettes. It does not specifically include e-cigarettes at this time. At some point in the future, the FDA may assert jurisdiction over e-cigarettes, but they've not thus far. And your point is well taken, Larry. It's because of that, and because they're not regulated, that we just don't know what's in them. And as one other really big point, and I know we're going to hear from some of our callers and talk about this in a lot more detail, but there's another really big challenge out there, and that is what's called dual use. E-cigarettes, for many people who are thinking about quitting, are choosing instead to continue to smoke but use the e-cigarettes in smoke-free environments. So a person who...
It's legal to do that.
Oh, yep. It depends on the environment. Airplanes, for example, you cannot use e-cigarettes. But for a lot of people who are thinking about quitting because of the new regulations for smoke-free environments, their decision to quit may be delayed because they've got the option to use e-cigarettes. And what a tragedy for someone who would have quit but is now using both and continuing to smoke, and we know that any cigarette smoke is deadly.
Yeah. Brianne in Concord, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. Well, what I wanted to say, first of all, is that I am a former smoker. I smoked for many years, and my mother recently passed about 3 months ago from lung cancer, and she was a smoker for 45 years. Obviously, her disease encouraged me to quit. I had quit in the past, but I'd started again on and off type of thing. And we had about 4 months from when we found out that she had lung cancer until the time that she passed. And during that time, very stressed out, didn't give up smoking. You know, most people are kind of like, why wouldn't you do that? But it just wasn't the right time for me. The day of her funeral was the last time that I bought cigarettes. But I also bought an e-cigarette that day because it's going to be a long day, the services, around family. I didn't think that it would be appropriate to be smoking around anybody. That's the last time I bought cigarettes. The e-cigarette worked for me to get me off of regular cigarettes. However, one of the things that I think stops me from smoking the e-cigarettes, too, is because my gums seem to get very inflamed when I would smoke them. And I don't know, and I thought, there's some sort of crazy chemical in these e-cigarettes that's making my gums get inflamed. I need to just be done with this. And I was, you know, and I am. But I do encourage my friends who are smokers to try to do the e-cigarette thing because it did help me get weaned off. You know, there's an oral addiction there. You want to have something in your hand to smoke, just something to keep you busy instead of, you know, a lot of people put on weight because they're constantly putting something in their mouth. But I don't know, the bad chemicals in these e-cigarettes too. Obviously, I don't want anybody to have those too, because like you said, it's not regulated, but it did help me to get off of the cigarettes.
Well, thank you very much for calling, Brianne. And Dr. Fiore, comments from you.
Well, first, I'm so sorry to hear about the passing of your mom, and I'm sure she would be so pleased that that you have quit smoking, because you are right that in all likelihood her lung cancer was directly caused by her smoking. 90% of lung cancer deaths, which is the leading cancer killer in Wisconsin and America, are caused by smoking. And people don't realize that now many more women in Wisconsin are killed by lung cancer than are killed by breast cancer, and it's because of their smoking. So, ma'am, again, I'm sorry on the passing of your mom, and I commend you for quitting. What you did with e-cigarettes is really the ideal. You use them for a very short period of time, and then you quit both. And I'm not a purist about quitting smoking. I support anyone doing it any way, but particularly ways that don't put them at added risk. What you did is wonderful. A lot of individuals who've tried have not been able to succeed in the same way, and that's what we need to study. Yeah. We need to study if, first, what's in e-cigarettes and how harmful is it? But secondly, when we look at large groups of people, do more of them succeed than not when they use them? And then finally, the issue that we talked about a few minutes ago, Larry, and that is this issue of dual use. People who might have quit, but because they can substitute the e-cigarettes in certain environments, continue to smoke, and thereby continue to put themselves at risk for the myriad of diseases, including lung cancer.
And thank you very much again for calling, Brianne, and telling us your story. I really appreciate it. Dr. Mike Fiore, our guest today, professor of medicine, director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today about quitting smoking and zeroing in a bit on electronic cigarettes, which have become very, very popular. Are they a panacea? There are some issues that need to be addressed, and we're talking about them with Dr. Mike Fiore, professor of medicine, director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Great to have him along. And just to let you know, coming up at 11:45 today, we'll be talking about how your tired brain directs junk food binges with Dr. Ruth Barco, one of the director of the Wisconsin Sleep Laboratory, and Dr. Brian Baldo, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Psychiatry. So they've got some interesting research. Right now, though, zeroing in on smoking and the truth about electronic cigarettes. Join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences with e-cigarettes. Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Kristen in Attigo next. Kristen, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was calling because I actually started using electronic cigarettes about 4 years ago. I had not been looking to quit smoking. I was just looking for an alternative. I knew we were going to be having a smoking ban, and it was expensive, and kind of knew I should quit, but I just hadn't been serious about trying it. And since then, I haven't smoked in 4 years. My husband also started using them, my brother, his wife, my mother-in-law. and all of us have been smoke-free since we started using them. The reason I was calling was that the key thing about electronic cigarettes is they're not intended for treating nicotine addiction. Some people are using them that way, but they're really intended to be a safer alternative for smokers who cannot or will not quit smoking, which was people like me. And since only 6.5% of smokers quit annually, and there's about the same number of people who start smoking every year, that leaves over 40 million smokers a year who aren't even thinking about using gums and patches and such. So it's about tobacco harm reduction. It's not meant for non-smokers, and it's meant for smokers. And since nicotine is not a carcinogen, and it's not the source of smoking-related disease and death, it's a cleaner, safer source of nicotine for smokers. After starting to use one, I saw that, you know, the FDA did a test in 2009 of two products that were from companies that were in a lawsuit with the FDA, and they came up with some trace chemicals and such, but nothing that was at a harmful level. They did not find harmful levels of carcinogens or toxins. And there's been a lot of tests. I mean, a lot of tests and research have come out. Most of the ones, those chemicals that list the chemicals in front of you, you have to look at the doses, the poison. It's not just that it exists in there. I mean, there's carcinogens in nicotine gum.
Well, that's there are carcinogens in nicotine gum, I guess, Dr. Fiore, is that correct?
Nicotine gum has been tested by the FDA. It's been evaluated both for effectiveness in helping people to quit as well as for safety. And the FDA has said that it is safe to use. And, I mean, that's the big challenge with e-cigarettes. First, as we talked about before, there's more than 250 different brands. Many of these are brands that are coming from China and other international ports where there's no quality control. There's not a lot of clarity in terms of what the content is. They've not been tested and endorsed by the FDA. Specifically, the FDA has said because they've not been tested as a cessation medicine, they cannot be marketed as a strategy to help people quit. There's a lot of unknowns, which is really, I think, where most people sit. And that is, are they as bad as cigarettes? I think we could say with confidence, no.
No.
But do we want to put out to people who are trying to quit a product that's not been tested, that's not been shown to be safe, particularly when we have other options that have been so tested? People can have different perspectives on this. And as we said earlier, the goal is to help people to quit. And for everyone who's able to quit tobacco smoke, I commend them for that. We've got concerns about children taking this up as a possibility. We've got concerns about people who would have quit otherwise who are using it as dual users. We've got alternatives, including the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free counseling service to help people to quit. So I think we've got some better alternatives than an untested product that at least has some chemicals of concern in it.
All right. Kristen, thank you. Sky in Brookfield will give you a chance to join in. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was listening to a couple of your callers. One had kind of got me to want to call and give my experience. She said that her gums started inflaming. Well, when I bought it, I tried it about 2 years ago, and it actually worked and helped me stay away from cigarettes for the most part. But then, of course, I don't want to go and try and order them again and find the same brand. So that kind of gets to be a little hassle to try and wait for it to come through the mail, or you got to start over with a different brand, and it, you know, it just gets complicated and to be a hassle. But my main concern was that after I smoked it, I had to smoke enough of it where I would actually start feeling some sort of sensation where, you know, the cravings of smoking start going away. But my lungs started getting very, very wheezy. And, I mean, I could hear the wheezes coming out, and that really worried me as to where I put them down and didn't do that again. And, of course, now I'm back to smoking cigarettes and want to stop this year too, but it's a difficult thing, and you know, you have to be ready. I've quit a couple times in my life, and it was the easiest thing, believe it or not, but I do strongly believe that it has to be the right time, and you have to be in the right state of mind.
Oh, Dr. Fiore, comment. Thank you for calling, by the way, Sky. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Sir, I guess the only key thing I want to share with you is don't give up. I mean, you clearly want to do this. It's the right thing for your health, for your family's health, for your wallet. Don't give up, and you know, think about talking with your doctor about quitting because there are new approaches that may be helpful to you. Think about calling the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline. So I just want to give you a message of hope there. To the issue of pulmonary effects, unfortunately, there's not been a lot of research on e-cigarettes in terms of their health impact, but there is an article in the peer-reviewed scientific journal, very well respected, called CHEST. So it's a pulmonary journal. And it looked at short-term pulmonary effects of e-cigarettes and actually found some deleterious short-term pulmonary effects, quite similar, actually, to what the caller was referring to.
Oh.
Does everybody have these? No. But it was enough to show a statistically significant effect in this small study. And I think it just is one more example of we just don't know yet enough, Larry, to say anything other than really be cautious.
Yeah. Are you still there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yes, I have one more thing. You know, the little cartridges that they give you, I'm wondering, you know, like, what else can be done with that? I mean, you know, people are putting stuff in there originally, but, I mean, it's something easily tampered with, and, you know, maybe at some point someone will think to put something else in there. I know that you know, marijuana or THC can come in a liquid form. Who's to stop them from putting that in the cigarette and getting away with doing that or even bad things?
We don't know. And who's to stop them? That's an open question. Sky, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Facebook question from Gregory, considering the side effects of Chantix, is it? Some people have had suicidal thoughts, heart issues. Isn't it possible that Chantix will do more long-term damage than the e-cigarettes?
Yeah. Well, a great question. And varenicline or Chantix, varenicline's the chemical name of it. It's been shown and approved by the FDA as safe and effective, but with a caveat, and that is, there are warnings for its use in people, particularly with psychiatric histories or people with cardiac concerns. The thing about varenicline or Chantix is you would only get it if you talk to your doctor, who hopefully will assess you as to whether it's an appropriate treatment. It's one of seven FDA-approved medications, but even apart from medicine, there are important counseling approaches, including the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline. You know, medicines aren't the only answer. There are other ways, and in fact, most people in Wisconsin who've successfully quit have done so without medication.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had someone call in and said she was not aware of free resources that are available in her community for quitting smoking, and we definitely want to let people know. You've referred to them, but let's go through them.
So, you know, I think probably the best repository of those resources is the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. So anyone anywhere in Wisconsin can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, Q-U-I-T-N-O-W. And the great thing about it, it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You'll get a live counselor. After they take some intake information, they'll talk to you about your smoking and your interest in quitting. They'll help to develop a personalized quitting plan for you. And they'll even send you in the mail, if you are appropriate and desire it, 2 weeks of free nicotine gum patch or lozenges. All that is free and provided by the Wisconsin Tobacco Control Program. And one other service they have, in addition to then sending you a personalized quit kit in the mail with some extra counseling advice, is they have a list of resources in every community in Wisconsin. So if, for example, you don't want to take advantage of the phone counseling that they have, you could ask them about resources in your community, and we continuously update that list. But, boy, I'd think about calling the Quit Line. It's a great resource, free of charge, for everyone in Wisconsin. And want to make one other plug, Larry, and that is if you're a Wisconsin Badger Care member, we now have a program that's specially designed for Badger Care members. It's called Strive to Quit. And while you're quitting, you will get financial incentives to support your quitting. It's only for Badger Care members, but it's a new program. It'll only be going on for about a year. And I urge all Badger Care smokers to call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, and you'll get some information on striving to quit and how you can be a part of that program.
You are doing a study on, or I guess there was just announced, a new study on menthol cigarettes.
Yeah, Larry, we got some great news today from the National Institutes of Health that they have funded a new study at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health to study menthol cigarette smoking. We know in Wisconsin that 75% of African Americans in our state smoke menthol cigarettes, and about 25% of whites smoke menthol cigarettes. So it's a big problem, but we don't know much about it. In particular, we don't know if it's harder for menthol smokers to quit and why. We don't know which cessation treatments might be most effective for them. And we don't know if menthol smokers are more dependent. So this grant is going to help us to answer those questions in a large group of Wisconsin smokers that we've been studying for about 10 years.
And this, and when you said 75%, you meant 75% of those who smoke.
75% of African-Americans who smoke menthol cigarettes. And that's a really big issue in the African-American community, because we know that African-American smokers who smoke the same number of cigarettes have much higher rates of lung cancer and lung cancer death. And people are asking, why is this? And the big difference between African-American and white smokers is the use of menthol cigarettes. And we hope to help to get to the bottom of that as well.
And we have Blake and LaCrosse up next. Thanks for calling, Blake. Hello.
Hi. I actually have a two-part question for you. You know, as part of my job, I actually talk to people about trying to quit smoking and how to go about doing that. And I guess my question is, you know, you speak to a lot of people that they have tried patches, they've tried gums, they've tried Wellbutrin and lozenges in the past, and it hasn't worked for them. I agree that those should be the first, you know, line of products that you try to help quit smoking. But would there ever be a scenario where you would think that it would be okay to actually encourage somebody to try to use an electronic cigarette if they've tried other means that hasn't been successful? And if that is so, is there any kind of recommendations on how to go about using that electronic cigarette for the purpose of quitting, like a set number of weeks that it should be used for, or a set cutting down plan, any kind of recommendations like that for somebody who would want to try to use that electronic cigarette for the purpose of quitting?
Well, Blake, great question, hard question. I'll answer it very honestly. And that is, as a physician, I am just reluctant to recommend personally a product that hasn't been tested and shown to be safe and or effective. The good news is the NIH in Washington and the FDA have begun to fund the sort of research studies that will provide the information we need to answer just those questions. Do e-cigarettes help people to quit? If so, which smokers? If so, how should we use them? Right now, we don't have that information, and because of that, I'm reluctant to recommend a product that I just don't feel comfortable knowing if it is safe or effective.
Mm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Blake, for calling. Appreciate it. Josie in Sheboygan, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. I quit on New Year's Eve 1989, cold turkey, and it had been bothering me a lot, you know, smoking. It was actually interfering in whatever I was doing and also the cost. And I saw C. Everett Koop, the Surgeon General, and he was honest, the most honest one of all. And he said that smoking was as bad as heroin addiction, because when you smoke, it goes directly to your brain and addicts you. And also I watched on C-SPAN all the heads of the tobacco companies, and one by one they were asked, was nicotine addictive? And they said no. And, I mean, I'm not an idiot. I know it is addictive, you know, and I just thought that was just terrible that they all lied like that. And so that, and also the third reason why I quit was that I love my animals, and every time I smoked, they would inhale that stuff, you know. So that's why I quit, and I haven't regretted it. And the first 2 weeks was pretty, you know, I was, I didn't drive at the time, and I was talking a lot on the bus. I met this one bus driver that said he had quit 5 years before and started again after 5 years, and I thought, oh, that is crazy. So I just wanted to tell my little story.
Well, Josie, what a great story. I want to just respond very quickly to your three motivators. First, Dr. C. Everett Koop, Surgeon General from 1981 to 1989, probably did more than anyone else in America to alert us to the dangers of smoking. And as you say, he told it like it was. And he said that it is as addictive as heroin or cocaine. So he in fact, is the person that motivated me to dedicate my life to helping people to quit smoking. You're right. Tobacco use and cigarettes specifically are highly addictive, and it was a joke when the tobacco industry CEOs went before and said that it's not. And finally, to your point about your animals, there's now an increasing body of evidence that says that animals who live with smokers are at very substantial risk of diseases that kill smokers. For example, animals who live with smokers have much higher rates of cancer than animals that don't live with smokers, and it's one of the leading risks to their health as well. So another motivator to help us think about quitting for ourselves, but also the ones we love.
And Brian in Green Bay, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm an e-cigarette smoker as well, and I have found that in the past, if you're not drinking a lot of water with these products, it's really there's a tendency for your body to dehydrate. And I have done a little research myself on some of the internet sites that do sell these e-cigarettes that state that very thing. And I was shocked when I saw that. I thought, well, that's my problem. I also had issues with my gums inflamed as well, and that might be one of the reasons. But one of the main, from what I understand, one of the main ingredients in these e-cigarettes is propylene glycol, which is the same chemical that they put in antifreeze.
No.
How safe is that?
Well, that's the $64 question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, It's a product that unfortunately is at this point not regulated, that is varied, and we talked about more than 250 different brands. Many of these brands are imported from places all over the world, including China. There's no quality control. I would say the jury is out at the best. We just don't know a whole lot about these, and why would we take a chance with something we just don't know?
Yeah. Yep. Thank you very much, Brian, for calling. And then, and thank you, Dr. Fiore, for being with us. Let's go back through just again, if people who want to quit smoking, what are the services that are available to them?
Well, I'm going to highlight three services that folks should think about if they want to quit. And the good news now is that about 70% of smokers in Wisconsin tell us they want to quit. So three things you may want to think about. The first is take advantage of the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. It's a free service, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you're ready to quit, the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line is ready to help. So take advantage of that. The second I would say is talk to your doctor. Tobacco addiction is a chronic disease. It's not just a bad habit. And the reason that people are still smoking is they're addicted to this product, and your doctor may be able to help you to overcome it. And then the final bit of advice is what we talk about every time, Larry. Don't give up. The average smoker takes at least 5 attempts to successfully quit. Every time you try, even if you don't make it, you're going to be smarter and stronger for the next episode. You can successfully get cigarettes out of your life for yourself, for your family, for your wallet. It's a great time to quit smoking. And to all of the listeners who are thinking about it, today's a great day to begin.
Thank you very much. Dr. Mike Fiore is a professor of medicine, director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's an MD, obviously a doctor as well, and has a master's in public health and an MBA. He's a busy guy and has really, as he indicated earlier, devoted his life to helping you and I quit. He helped me many years ago. I went through the quit smoking program with him, and it's been, I don't even know how long it's been, 25 years at least. So I owe him a lot, and I know there are thousands of other people who owe him a lot too. You can get some help from him and others, if you smoke, or if you're using the e-cigarettes. You know, think about, hey, maybe getting off those as well. How's your sleep been lately? Are you tired all the time, or are you waking well rested? There's some interesting research out there about how a tired brain can direct junk food binges. What do you think about that? We'll be talking about that next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.